The Antidote has the members of Transform in for a visit. Thanks for taking time for us.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Dave, for having us. We're really blessed to be here, man.
Great to be here.
Well, you know what? It is formal introduction time. So how about each of you giving us your name and your part in Transform?
Well, I'm Tim, and John and I kind of co-founded Transform a long time ago, which I help with anything that has to do with the music or performance pieces, DJ, producer, all that good stuff. And I'm going to hand it to my wife, Lorna.
Hey, I'm Lorna. I am a worship leader, and I have a heart to worship songs to Jesus. So sometimes we'll take some of those songs and we'll produce them.
I'm Angie Burgess, and I am John's wife. I'm not good at singing or songwriting, so I'll just do whatever I'm told. And so in our latest song, you'll hear me saying the word, yeah. So that's my role. Like, I kind of just do what I'm told.
She has an amazing heart. So like young women will come up to her and they just gather towards Ange, and she just has this heart for people and they just sense that. So that's a huge part that she brings, an encouragement to us. So a lot more.
Aw, thanks, Lorna.
And she sings very well as well. Both of them do. I'm John, and yeah, like Tim, we sort of founded Transform a long time ago. We had another member originally, a couple of people, and then the lineup changed slightly, but Tim and I have been there through the whole journey. And yeah, I think strong point is really just more on the vocal mic, a lot of hype, a lot of crowd interaction, the DJing, and helping with the music too, which is a huge passion. So yeah, it's different with DJs because it's not like we have, like, this guy plays drums, although if we did, that'd be Tim, because he does play electronic drums sometimes in our set, or a lead guitar or bass guitar. You know, we're DJs, and so it's a little bit less of each person has their riser and their station on stage. But yeah, that's who we are.
Well, you weren't joking when you said it's been a long time, because it was, what, 08, 09 when it all began?
Yeah, actually, even before that, because Tim and I met in college when we were at Colorado Christian University. That's a great school here in Denver. But while we were there, I think it was English class, we just started talking and we realized we both were into the same type of music. And there was another guy. And then I think Tim ended up buying his turntables, Techniques 1200 turntables. And Tim got really into dance music as we both had that interest. And then I left. But then after college, we ran into each other at a coffee shop and we were both still just as passionate or maybe more. And we just said, let's do something. But what? We didn't even know. About a week later, we had a third friend call and say, hey, there's this DJ who's a Christian and it's going to be at 3J's coffee shop, which is like this venue along our interstate I-25 that a lot of bands play at. He's a Christian and this music's incredible. His demo, here, listen to it. And so I had just run into Tim at that coffee shop. And then I just called him a few days or a week later, right, Tim? And I was just like, we got to go. We got to go check this out. This is crazy. We just met up again at this coffee shop accidentally. We both want to use this for God. And let's go check out this coffee shop and this DJ. And then, Tim, I'll let you kind of tell the story.
Sure. Yeah. So we went, and this guy named Luke was there and doing an interactive show. He wasn't just DJing, but there's other things happening throughout the show. And, you know, it was really cool. And I went up and introduced myself. And Luke was a former kind of raver person. And so he's like, wait, what's your name? And I just introduced myself again. He's like, hey, I think I saw you play at this show and this show. And I was like, well, I was there. I did play those shows. He's like, oh my gosh, you know, do you want to come up and close the night? And oddly enough, we were still doing like vinyl records at the time. So oddly enough, I had some records in my car. He had me close out the night and it was like a great experience. And so the owner of 3J's came to the three of us. Again, we just met Luke. John and I had just recently reconnected, and the owner was just kind of like, I'll give you this place, you know, one night a month, do your thing and you can use this place. And we were just like, all right, sure. And so we're like, well, Luke, what's your number? And let's get together. And ended up forming what was called at the time Transform Productions. And we were throwing really outreach events to kind of the club culture, rave culture, where a lot of relationship evangelism was happening. We weren't super overt from the stage at the beginning. It was just kind of relationship evangelism, mingling. You know, we had some local DJs playing, do our best to, you know, share the Lord with people through just kind of like a relational evangelism.
And to have fun.
Yeah, no, exactly. It was great. And it did that for a little while. So from that point, we all just started getting married, having kids, different things. And we did some stuff here and there between that. And then our friend Luke became honestly a Christian music festival promoter. And he was able to integrate a little bit of what we do. Then at that point, we formed what we call Transform DJs. And we were DJing kind of like after parties at Christian music festivals. And then we started getting into music production. And this was right when EDM was really taking off in the States around that time. And so we felt like we were just kind of riding a wave. And so we got into production. And then over time, again, it morphed again. It transformed, if you want to say that, into what's known as Transform today, where we produce music, we DJ, but we also produce music and sing and do different things. So from Transform Productions to Transform DJs to now what you know as Transform.
We've all been talking about your music, but now we need to get into it. And I'm boring and I like to do things chronologically. So let's move into the earliest song I had heard from Transform, I See You Moving. When you released that, what kind of a response were you expecting?
Well, that was really an unknown. We were getting into production. We were being mentored by some other producers that were helping us kind of just walk through the stages. And so we were just like, we think this is at a good place. And actually, I think at the time it was Transform DJs featuring Lorna, I think. So we hadn't made the shift to Transform. It was just, hey, let's just make this song. We wrote some lyrics, Lorna sang on it, we produced it. And actually we just gave it away for free because we haven't even really like officially quote released it. It was just a free download. And for me personally, I didn't know what to expect. I mean, I thought, well, I like it. You know, again, we were riding kind of an EDM boom. EDM was kind of infiltrating pop music. You're hearing stuff on the radio like Party Rock Anthem by LMFAO and some others. And so it was kind of like, hey, let's make a party track that is Christ-centered, you know? And so we did that. And so I feel like the response was very positive. People seemed to dig it. Those are my thoughts.
Does Lorna want to talk about the lyrics?
Yeah, I mean, with I See You Moving, it's kind of like that whole thing of the Holy Spirit. It's like, even if you don't notice, he's still moving. And that when we focus on him, we see him. It's like where it says that the Holy Spirit hovers over, you know, all of us in the earth, and he's moving whether we know it or not. So throw your hands up, just surrender to him, and he's going to move. So just go with it.
It was great because we got this opportunity to play multiple times at Ichthus Music Festival in Wilmer, Kentucky. I think I remember you, Tim and Lorna, talking about just like watching the crowd's reaction and just like seeing the Holy Spirit move during those moments. You know, we're DJing, we're, you know, proclaiming, you know, we're, it's new and it's crazy. It's like this crazy wave we're riding, and we're just seeing these people respond, just like Lorna said, to the Holy Spirit, like just working in the crowd, and just seeing people's hands and their reaction and just saying, yeah, like we see Holy Spirit, we see you moving, you know, so it's awesome.
Well, you'd also see the people moving because, after all, it is EDM.
Right.
So I See You Moving might have been the very first song, but in 2016, Transform headed on to release the full length, Never Alone. Was that a big step for the band?
Yeah, that was a huge step. We started working with a producer named Taylor Franklin. He's an incredibly talented producer, and he was releasing his own music and just sort of asking us, because the Lord had kind of blessed us to like tour a lot at that time. It was crazy because he's like, we only had the one song officially out. We had some DJ sets out, and we were coming from this world where like these house and trance songs were like, you know, 7 minutes long. And then I See You Moving, we're sort of like, let's do radio songs. I mean, I know that sort of Christian radio isn't necessarily playing a lot of EDM at the moment, but like, let's release radio songs so that when it's time, they're ready. You know, we were releasing these songs, and not every song on the album is a radio edit, but the single Never Alone certainly is. And that was, you know, for that same intention. But Taylor, just so talented, and he was asking us questions about, you know, how are you guys touring and what are you guys doing? And it was just sort of this natural fit. He just kind of came in. I mean, Tim can share this probably better than me, but he just said, like, I'll help you make some songs, I'll help you turn into this album. And it just seemed like a natural fit. And so that's when we just said, not only, you know, thank you for helping us with this album, but do you want to like join Transform? And so he was incredibly instrumental in that. Obviously, Lorna contributed various songs that she had written. We wrote different songs in the studio. Some of them are just instrumentals. Most of them had sort of inspirational verses connected to it. But yeah, that was a huge step. And I think a massive turning point for us.
Let's talk about that title track, Never Alone. The first verse says, "Last fall, I heard your heartbreak. I heard what they said, rejected. Back down. I should have told you then, but now I can't with one more moment." That makes it sound like it's a personal story.
Yeah, it's somewhat personal. It's a little bit written maybe more in the third person, only because I was a youth pastor for a long, long time, and I sort of had a heart for young people. And so it was a radio edit. It was the most poppy type song on the album, with that intention to sound that way on purpose. But I was trying to be like, okay, what if you were like a middle schooler, and you know, we've all had those times where you're in survival mode as a young person, and you heard somebody getting made fun of, you heard somebody getting bullied. And you know, as we all have kids, and those types of things are very close to our heart, but we ourselves were in survival mode. And so we backed down. We didn't stand up. We weren't there for a friend. I mean, and this is obviously a very young target audience for that song, but I was like, how many kids have gone through that, where they even had friends who were their friend last weekend, but today they're just totally being silent while they're getting bullied? And so it was more of a determination saying, okay, like, that happened last fall at school when everybody was super insecure just coming into school. But now I'm not going to back down anymore. You know, I'm not going to wait one more moment. I'm going to tell you that you're never alone.
You know, it's funny because it sounds like it's a regret, but when regret is faith related, does that make it more serious?
Yeah. It's so funny. Sometimes people think that Christians can be like a downer because of that seriousness. I just think to your point, it's so spot on, man. Because it's like you do feel the weight of the consequences, or you do feel the weight of like, oh my gosh, the power of words, you know, and you have that insight, you realize things do matter. So yeah, it was from a point of regret, but also redemptive. And you know, we try not to write everything from the perspective that it has to have every redemptive sewn up at the end of every song, but this particular one does have that determination to say, like, no more. Like, now I can't wait any longer to let you know that yeah, you're not alone.
So you're saying that Transform does not try to fit into that tight Christian music box.
You know, we grew up during that transition where a lot of bands were kind of trying to shake that off. And we never tried to adopt that attitude. Like, you would know, like in the 80s, when like the rock and roll bands came through churches, and they were sort of kind of had that attitude of, move over, everyone. We're here. Let's turn our amps up. You know, now we're here 10, 15, 20 years later with dance music. We never wanted to have that snarky attitude towards people. And so we don't mind people putting us in whatever boxes they want to put us in. For some of my favorite bands, never ever offered any redemption. You know, we definitely want to point people in that direction, but if the song just is about the emotion of the sorrow, that's okay. You know, I think in the journey or the next song, whatever, we might have those pieces of redemption, but Never Alone does. And you know, one of the things that we do like about, you know, later in the bridge is, you know, it does kind of share what the source of never being alone really is. Because even if I'm there for my friend, you know, that's temporary, as good as it is. But there is even a deeper message in it that's saying, you know, like, yeah, Jesus is there. And if with him sincerely in your life, you're never alone. And the verse is that hidden verse, Matthew 28, 20. I say hidden because it's right after what people call the Great Commission. The Great Commission being, go and tell, you know, people about me, the big, go make disciples of many nations. And it's like, everybody has heard that verse if you've been in church twice. You know, you've heard about that. But the promise at the back end of that is, I'm with you to the very end of the age. And that, you know, became my favorite verse in the Bible, just knowing that he is with me at all times. And so, yeah, if we can share that through a tiny little song about a middle schooler getting bullied, then, you know, how cool, because it rings true for, you know, college students, you know, young adults or young families or older people, just recognizing, you know, with Christ, you never have to be alone.
You know, the only problem that I have with the Never Alone album is that it has so many great tracks. And it was hard to choose which songs to talk to you guys about. But I do have favorites like Forever. Now, I read that the song is directly inspired by John 3:16. Is that how all of your songs are made? I mean, pulling ideas from the Bible.
I think, man, it's a mixture of a lot of things, you know. Like I said, well, like Lorna said, you know, she's a worship leader, so her heart is to naturally write worship songs. It's definitely a Never Alone. We were purposeful about, you know, having themes throughout the music that did tie to scriptural things. It's certainly not like, you know, a mandatory thing that we have to do that. I think just a lot of it just, it's kind of like that. I mean, to bring up a verse, you know, like it just says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so I think a lot of these are just naturally, they come out. We're definitely not trying to be formulaic in any way. I think a lot of these things just naturally come out that way. But we're definitely not opposed to, you know, writing what I would call just kind of like a normal uplifting song, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, with Forever, it definitely is about salvation, for sure. About letting it go, giving it all to Him. And this is forever.
A few minutes ago, you mentioned about playing shows. Transformers played shows all around the world. Something that took me by surprise was that at least a third of those dates were played in the Netherlands. So it makes it sound like that country may be the hub of your fan base.
Yeah.
I'd say it's definitely the hub of our heart. That's for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, we love all the places we go to, but I think there was a genuine connection with some people in early days that we met a gentleman by the name of Alco that ended up booking shows for us, not only in the Netherlands, but in Europe. But tied to that was also schools work, which was very ministry based, where we would go into public schools, private schools, etc., and do like music classes, maybe do like a lunchtime concert, and then hand out free tickets to the show at the end of the week. And that's where kids would come. They would rent out a club, and then we would do a full-on show and, you know, present the gospel. And so the Netherlands was a hub for us in terms of kind of starting some of that stuff, and as well as kind of branching out into Europe.
Alco, you know, as he puts it, was this like young kid growing up absolutely loving this band that you may or may not know from sort of the 90s called the Worldwide Message Drive in Manchester, England. And we sort of accidentally met Alco. And it was just like these kids from across the world being influenced by the same music, the same band, just with a heart saying, like, we would love to go into schools and reach young people. And at the end of the week, have a gig in a club or something and get to share the gospel and do evangelism, which is like the root call. It's just like unbelievable that it all got tied together. So we were all kind of like looking at each other, like, is this happening? Like, he had the same thing, the same desire, but he didn't have the platform of actually being a performer. And we sort of had this couple songs and we had some performances under our belt. It all kind of came together, and then it sort of like combusted right there in the Netherlands. And so, yeah, we were going back constantly, and it's always on the table. Even now, we're just like every year, we're just like, are we going back? When are we going back? And we'll schedule it. So it's definitely a part of our heart. That's a great question. Thanks, Dave.
What a great time. Since we've been chatting about shows, Transform kind of encases that in the song set list. Was that what inspired the song?
Yes. Yes, that's so good. You're a great interviewer, and I hope you leave this
totally
in
there. Totally. This guy does his research, man.
Yeah, man, we've done a lot of interviews, and this is just this is one of my favorite. I'm having a blast. Okay, yeah, set list. In 2019, we were in the UK, and we were in a school's week as well, and it was just like 19 like mini sets of music, like through all these classes and all these young people. And this person we were working with actually played this mainstream song, and it sounded a little like set list, or at least we were inspired to write a song like. And that's where Setlist came from. But it was just like seeing these kids just like go for it and like say the lyrics. And so I was just like, yes, I want a song that sort of like, you know, embodies what we experienced in England at that time. But then the lyrics came together, and it was, yeah, sort of like an ode to Transform, sort of basically saying, you know, Like, this is what we've done, and this is the doors that the Lord has opened. And there's a line in there that's like, don't even sweat. And there's a real subtle thank you in there, because I didn't want to come across like, oh my gosh, like, don't even sweat. We get to travel. It's more just like, God, thank you for what you did. Like, yeah, like, we travel, and that's a transformed set. Tim's comfort zone and sort of his anchor point is behind the turntables. And mine is just natural without even trying, without even thinking about it, without even discussing it, right, Tim? It just naturally happens. Like, give me the microphone. Let's go. Let's get in the crowd. Let's stage dive even. Let's like get on the barrier at the festival. Let's get right there with the people on the microphone. So yeah, it's a little bit looking back at the tours. It's a looking back at, you know, where we've come from, what we've done, just celebrating that. Yeah.
You were mentioning about EDM in the UK. They had famous guys like Andy Hunter, who did make the bridge between Christian and the mainstream with his stuff.
Absolutely. Andy Hunter is one of our, I guess you could call, mentors at a distance. He's been a friend. He's been someone who's never too big to meet up and have a coffee with us. He's just an amazing human being. We love him and celebrate him. But you're right, he did. He was way ahead of us. And there's so many other bands. Like, we talk about, like, Worldwide Message Tribe, Andy Hunter, of course. There was DBA, 65 DBA. There was AJ Mora. And of course, there was Scott Blackwell, who did all the old Nitro right. praises, mixed records, and Ensoul records, and those types of pieces of history. We honor and revere the guys who came before us. And now there's a tsunami of younger guys coming behind us, doing bigger and better. We have a certain piece of the puzzle. And yeah, people like Andy Hunter and what he did and what he accomplished, been nothing but inspiring. We have a song, a remix of that we did for him, Tim did. It's a Rise Up remix. And yeah, we're just so honored to be connected to him in any way.
I do find that most of Transform's songs have a relatively straightforward message, but you guys made Unwind a little different. It's a bit less obvious and it's more poetic. Now, you got to tell me, and I guess this really goes to Lorna, because it sounds like you're doing most of the lyrics. Is one writing style better than the other?
Well, great question. No, I mean, these guys add so many good lyrics and have had so much. So I'm just a piece of it. I wouldn't say anything's better than the other or any style. It just kind of whatever comes to me in the moment of just spending time on the piano and singing, if that makes sense.
Well, then, since you're the lyricist of the song, why not fill us in about the message of Unwind?
Okay, so I will try to wrap this up as briefly as possible. So I have a really close friend, young mom, couple of boys, and her husband ended up walking out on them. And for a year, she would come over almost every day and we would cry and pray together. And one moment when she was just felt so alone, she was telling me about this dream she had. She said, I knew it was Jesus, where he came to me in the dream and he put his arms around my shoulders and she got life back and she had her heartbeat back almost. And he whispered on her face and just spoke, I'm here and I love you with all my heart. So it just brought her comfort that even though this hard situation came to her and her boys, that Jesus was there in the midst. But 1 year to the date of him leaving, he gave his life to the Lord. And he, even after they had their divorce and everything, they got remarried and they've been together ever since.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. So it's that, you know, and then the whole thing of just unwind, those words really have, they're multifaceted. It's kind of like the mess of life that, you know, from the knots of situation and life, it's like in him, just unwind. He's telling us to come unwind and also unwind in the sense of him taking your cares and you get to just rest and be with him.
I keep mentioning about Transform being EDM. The thing is that EDM has a million subgenres. Is there a better way of describing your sound?
Oh, that's a great question. And you totally hit the nail on the head as far as EDM. You know, EDM is kind of a newer term, for at least for us. It's been around for a lot of people for around today, EDM, you know, but and even the people that are, shall I say, raised kind of under this EDM umbrella, they're starting to notice and gravitate to certain subgenres. But with all that said, I would say transformed sound. Well, we do quite a variety of, if you want to call it, subgenres, everything from house to trance. But I would say the kind of the meat of our sound is going to lie in the electro house into, say, progressive house. You know, electro house would be kind of those big party hype tracks, and progressive house would be a bit more melodic, almost like what you would call trance, but at a slower BPM. So therefore, that's why they call it progressive house. And then obviously we try to incorporate as much as possible some form of vocal with that. So I would say that's kind of the meat of our sound, is it kind of ranges between electro house and progressive house. But we are, honestly, we're open to anything, you know, everything from deep house to drum and bass, so or dubstep or whatever. So we love it all. We love the music. We love the fact that we get to, you know, use the passions that we have to, obviously, for kingdom purposes, because what a better thing can you do when you have something that gives you joy that you can bring glory to God?
There is one song from Transform that barely touches that EDM box, because the psalm is more pop-oriented. The thing is that it's also a straight-up worship song. You know, it has lyrics that say, "I put my trust in your name, your love is faithful. Oh God, my soul rejoices." I guess really the big question is, would you consider all your music to be worshipful?
Yeah, great question. I mean, I would say, you know, some are more overt than others, but I do believe we go into it with the heart and the attitude of, Lord, how can we bring glory to you? How can we even just exude your joy through us? You know, even if it's kind of a party song or whatever, how can we exude joy in that? But I do think we do try to be intentional with that as far as bringing honor to the Lord. Some songs and some lyrics are, as you mentioned, are very much more overt than others, but that is a key element. You know, when we do our shows, we kind of have these three key elements that I think John had mentioned. You know, it's Jesus, life, worship. And so if we do that in shows, I think that comes through in our music as well.
I already mentioned that I was doing this chronologically, and now we get to bring it up to date and talk about your just released single, Louder Now. And I found that to be probably your most powerful song. But you know what? I want to challenge you on part of the lyrics that say, "Hands to the sky, feet on the ground. This is our year. This is our sound." Why this particular year? Why not choose a year from the past?
Over to you, John.
Yeah, no, that's good. I love that you said you like it. But sometimes you write a lyric and it's just not as profound as people may have thought. It might have just been because it rhymes or something. But I think it's always, I think Angie was just kind of whispering, it makes a good point. It's just like, it's always the year. It's always now. You know, it's not necessarily 2025 that this is our year, because we know that this is the year that something's going to happen. Although, you know, we're always hopeful. We're always looking over the horizon at the next thing, trying to be content, but also like looking for like what God has in store, you know? But yeah, Hands to the Sky, I think has to do with just getting into kind of back to I See You Moving in a way, you know, like, you know, we're worshiping or we're just doing crowd interaction, because during our breakdowns, it's hands to the sky, hands to the King. And then, you know, feet on the ground is just sort of like maybe hand movements, because if the crowd can interact with us and do these things live, that is an incredible party starter. That's like instant. Let's go. You know, this is our year. This is our sound. Obviously, speaking of like I guess the sound, as far as why this year versus the ones in the past, I don't know. I'm the most nostalgic person I think I know. So all the years are super important, but I think I'm more excited about the future.
I might have challenged you on that lyric, but now I got to challenge you on something else. Those same lyrics say hands to the sky, feet on the ground. You've already mentioned that you're going to keep doing this forever. How are you going to put the feet on the ground and the hands to the sky when the nursing aide is going to wheel you up onto the stage to perform?
Wow, that's a great question.
It's a metaphor.
Maybe I'll just force it and just drop there on the stage, and that's my way to go out. No, great question. I do genuinely feel like we're going to keep doing it for a while. Again, being very practical, like, okay, what if we get to the point where like physically it's tough? I think, okay, we still are producing music. We're still doing DJ mixes. We have a weekly radio show that still do as well. I think there's still other ways that we can use, again, the passions we have and the music we love, even if we're not jumping off a big stack of sub speakers into the crowd anymore, you know, but I think we'll always find ways to use our gifts.
Pray for longevity. You know, if those, if like Mick Jagger can do it, he's pretty active, or like, you know, even some of these, Randy Stonehill, man, Steve Taylor, these guys going out there performing, we could do it. So let's go for it. We might not jump as high
exactly
as we do now, but we're going to be all right, hopefully.
Well, I want to thank all four of the members of Transform for coming for this talk with The Antidote. I've really enjoyed this.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Dave, it was amazing. We're so excited. Thanks so much. We hope The Antidote just keeps going from strength to strength, man. Thanks for including us.